It's Free Wills Month, and we're encouraging you to find out more about the importance of leaving a valid will, along with the impact legacy gifts to RNIB make to the lives of blind and partially sighted people. It can be a complicated process, but with the Free Wills Network, legal advice to help you deal with your estate is available. Today, let's talk about actually writing a will, why some people are put off writing wills, and why it's so much more than a division of your estate. To find out more, I spoke to solicitor Emily Littlehales.
Hello, I'm Emily Littlehales, and I'm a solicitor at Celtic Law. We specialise in wills, trusts, estate planning and bereavement services.
Now, we all should have a will, but what puts people off making a will?
So I think it's just generally quite a morbid topic, isn't it? It's not something that people like to talk about. And I think if I had a pound for every time someone says, I've been meaning to do this for several years, or I've been nagging my husband or wife that we need to do this over the last few years, I could probably retire quite early, to be completely honest. So if people are putting off making a will, they're not by themselves. Pretty much most of the people I speak to have been putting it off for varying reasons. It's perhaps not a priority. We all know we're going to die, unfortunately, but it's not something people like to think about. But I think once you start the process, because I always say to people that, you know, making a will is a lifetime document, actually. It's something that you should keep under review regularly and just get used to the process of doing it, get comfortable with talking about it. And at the end of the day, it's the biggest gift that you're going to leave. We're talking about everything that you've accumulated throughout your whole life and making sure that you've got some certainty as to where that goes to. And with the free will scheme, again, you know, a lot of the clients that I see through the free will scheme say, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and the fact that my charity provides this service or they're linked with the scheme has really given me that nudge to put the will in place. And it's quite often, again, that people will have an experience, perhaps they've seen somebody who's not had a will and they've seen the chaos that that can cause. And I think the biggest takeaway point really is, if you have been putting off making a will, just do it. A really good will writer or solicitor will put you at ease, they'll guide you through the process, and it's not as morbid as you think it is. And people like me actually quite like talking about wills, and we always promise it's not going to be morbid, and it's just a case of getting that process started, isn't it, really?
And it's not just about money or property, it's pets and belongings and everything else.
Absolutely. I think there's a little bit of a misconception that, you know, people think, oh, I've got to have lots of money to make a will, or I don't have an awful lot to leave, so there's no point. And, or, you know, my family or whoever will sort it out for me. But as you mentioned, some of the clients that we see, the most important part of their will is what happens to their dog. You know, who gets the dog? Or they've got some specific personal belongings that they want to go to certain people. And it's quite often the personal belongings that are more precious than the money in the bank. And it's simply not the case that if you don't have lots of money, that you don't need a will, because it's all about making sure that your intentions are made clear and that it makes things easier for the people that are left behind at the end of the day.
Yeah, what can happen if you pass away without a will?
So if we pass away without making a will, there are sort of a set of rules that step in, and they're called the intestacy rules. So where somebody passes away without a will, they're called intestate, if you want the legal term for it. And the law will step in to say who gets the estate. So it will look at, you know, what family members you've got. You know, if you're married, do you have children? So there's sort of like an order of priority as to who will get your estate. And for those people that perhaps don't want certain family members to inherit, you know, they can be often quite shocked that their sibling, for example, might inherit from them if they die. You know, it's really important not to leave it to chance and to make that will so that the people that you want to receive from you ultimately do receive those gifts.
Now, if you are married, would everything go to your spouse?
Not necessarily. I mean, the intestacy rules, so if somebody passes away without a will and they are married, or if they're in a civil partnership, then there is a little more protection for couples, but they would actually only receive the statutory legacy, which is sort of the first lump of the estate. if you don't have children, then yes, your spouse will receive everything. But that's not necessarily the best thing to do, because if you're leaving it to that chance, you're missing out on the opportunity of some proper planning. You know, what happens if the survivor goes into care? You're missing out on the advice that goes with making a will. And certainly if you do have children, it's obviously really important to make sure you've got a will in place, because if the children do stand to inherit, they would inherit at 18. You know, so there's lots of really good reasons. Even if you're married, don't just rely on the fact that you're married, that you're protected. And the other point just on that, which might be worth making that people often don't realise, is that actually getting married revokes a will. So if you've had a will in place before you've been married, getting married in England and Wales actually revokes a will, so you're treated as though you don't have one. So the two takeaway points there, don't just rely on being married and that, you know, everything will pass the survivor and the assumption that that will take place, because it's not always the case, depending on the value of your estate. But also, if you have recently been married, that's a really good opportunity to jump onto the free will scheme and review your will, because it will have been revoked.
So you talked about marriage changing the circumstances of a will. I'm sure there are other things that will change the will. Is it easy to update?
Absolutely. We say, as a rule of thumb, review your will every 3 to 5 years, because this should capture the life events that might cause you to review the will, and obviously any changes in tax rules. But it's really easy to review, again, with the likes of the free will scheme. You know, it's just a case of obtaining the pack and reviewing the will, making sure that everything is up to date for you.
So if someone listening doesn't have a will or hasn't updated it for a while, what should they be thinking about and where can they go?
So in terms of where to go, I think, you know, the free will scheme seems to be plugging that quite a lot, but it's a really, really valuable scheme, because that means that you actually have the opportunity to take some proper professional advice. And so when we get a new instruction for a will, we usually ask the clients to do some prep. So this might be really helpful for listeners. It's nothing too onerous, but usually what we ask people to do is to list their assets and their approximate value, so that we can look at things like inheritance tax, care fee planning, and all of that sort of thing. And also to have a think about who they would like as their executors. So these are the people that administer the will. And if they've got children under 18, we ask them to think about guardians and just a general idea of what they'd like their will to say, just so that we've got a starting point. And the other final point that we ask clients to think about as well is funeral wishes. And that's an important part of a will that's often overlooked, but it can be really helpful for the family to know what they'd like for their funeral. So usually that's the sort of preparation that we ask clients to do, and that makes sure that we make the most of our meeting and we can help them look at their options.
So if someone's looking to write a will and perhaps they want to donate a portion to a charity, for instance, RNIB, where can they go?
So there's the National Free Wills Network website. And on that website, if you click through to supporters, and you can have a little look at the charities that are affiliated with that scheme, and you can click on their logo and it should tell you how to make contact and order your charity pack directly from the charity.
Thanks to solicitor Emily Little-Hales. For more information on the National Free Wills Network and donating to RNIB, head to rnib.org.uk and search for wills. Or you can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999.